She is hard. Her voice screams callous and her touch raw. You think she doesn't care, but she does, and she always has. You mistook her tenacity for bitch. She is quick. She can time travel like you've never seen before. You saw her tomorrow and didn't realize because you were stuck in yesterday. You mistook her forward thinking for Detro. She is quiet. Her silence scares you because it makes you unsure of yourself. She compels you to swallow and taste your vices. You mistook her composure for judgment. She is vital. Her urgency in this room is undeniable. Your rejection of it only ensures that her visit maintains. You mistook her necessity for oppression. She is unseen. If you had to guess, she would be everywhere and nowhere. Her body is not contained to the visible realm. You mistook her presence for absence. She is radical. Her mind is bottomless, but not like oceans. Bottomless like Black history and Panther bullets. You mistook her revolutionary for hostility. She is secure. Her ego suffocates your inner zealous. You wonder who could be that home. You mistook her confidence for hubris. She is sweet. She is diligent. She is imperfect. She is voice. She is ready. She is now and then. If you asked her why she is always misunderstood, why she is a giver even when we are takers, she would tell you it is because she is a leader.
Thank you for joining another episode with Armor's Reflections. Let's dive right into it. Do as I say and not as I do. You know, as a parent, I heard it growing up from my mom and dad, and I found myself, when I became a parent, I started to say the same thing, and it seems like it's a quote that us parents just, we say it, but I don't know if we really live by that. My parents, I don't think they lived by it. Maybe in some situations they did, but not 100%. I don't think any parent does anything 100%. You would like to think that you do, but the truth of the matter is that you don't. When I think about that statement, that quote, that saying, do as I say and not as I do. So that means if you're a parent that curses and screams and yell and that's all you do in the home, does that mean that your children are not supposed to do it? Because if that's all they see and that's all they know, isn't that what they're going to do? If you're a parent that says, you know, don't go steal, you know, don't take things that don't belong to you, and you turn around and you do that same thing. Maybe you're not a robber. Maybe you're not a bank robber. You know, maybe you're not out there snatching purses, but you're taking from people in other ways. Is your child not watching and at some point going to emulate what they see their parents do? I know I've definitely been one of the moms to say, you know, don't do this, you know, but do this. But I think what made it different for me compared to my parents' generation is I will tell my children, don't do this because I've done it. And this was the repercussions of it. So if you would like to go and do that, just know what this may happen if you go and do that. And you will have to deal with the results that comes with that because I'm not going to bail you out of your trouble, especially when I told you and forewarned you what could possibly happen. So it's very different to say, do as I say, not as I do, without giving an explanation, without giving a reason, without giving your own experiences on why you feel that way. We all know that kids have their mind of their own, but they have the impressions of their parents. And when I look at my children, you know, I'm proud of my kids, but I also see some things about them. I'm like, where did you get that from? And I find myself thinking like, bitch, they got that shit from you. And it really made me reflect. You know, there's a lot of different things that happens that really, and I journal a lot, that makes me look back and reflect and say, hey, if you don't want your kids to have certain characteristics or have certain behaviors, then don't you think maybe you need to work on that so that they can see you make that change? And I think that's what a lot of parents need to do. I mean, if we want our children and our generations to move forward in a positive direction and do better than us, don't we have to do better? Don't we have to show them something better? Parenting is not an easy job. It's a full-time job. It's a hard job. It's an emotional job. It's an emotional draining. Yes, it has its moments of satisfaction. But for me, as a parent, I worry more than I get satisfaction of raising children. I got to be honest with you. I worry about my kids in the street. I worry about my son, you know, with the police officers. I worry about my son with his own people that look like him. I worry about my son in school. I worry about my daughter, you know, growing up, and now she's an adult and managing money. And you will always worry as a parent. You'll never stop being a parent. But I just think with society today, we put so much on, you know, strangers who we don't know, you know, athletes, you know, musicians, authors, whoever. We put people in the limelight as if they need to be raising our children. When the truth of the matter is, you brought them into this world. You need to be raising your children. You need to be teaching your kids the ins and out. You need to be teaching your children how important education is, how important it is to value themselves. We are teaching our daughters how we want them to be in relationships. We're teaching them what type of friends that they should have by what we do. Because if we think that we're going through this world and we have children, they're not emulating and they're not watching and they're not picking up some of our bad habits and some of the behavior that we've learned from our parents that we need to be teaching our kids to unlearn, we're crazy. We're absolutely crazy. We're absolutely delusional. There's no way you can tell your child, do as I say, not as I do, and you doing some fuckery out here. It's ridiculous. And I'm you know, look at myself sometimes and I'm like slapping myself on the hand, like, shame on you, Andrea. What are you thinking? You know, if I expect my children to be different, then I have to be different. If I'm expecting them to change, then I got to be the change because I'm the only example out there for them. I'm not expecting anyone out there to be an example to my children besides myself. And I think we all need to, as parents, need to really take that mirror and turn it on ourselves and ask ourselves, what were we lacking, you know, as children from our own parents? And write down a list and ask yourself, is my children lacking the same thing? Because then that list is going to show you're passing on the same things that you disliked as a kid onto your children. And I got to tell you, you know, having a child that is a grown woman and is able to articulate and have a full conversation with me of what she liked or what she disliked this growing up. Wow. It's like an eye opener for me. It really is, because I feel I was a great mom in some aspects. And then some other ways I felt that wasn't so great. I wasn't so hot. I could have done better. And if you don't have those moments as a parent, then you're never going to grow. If you have more children, you're never going to make change with the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth child that you have. It's going to be the same shit. It's never going to change. If you don't have those moments of sitting down with your kids and saying, hey, you know, what could I do better? Or even looking, this is how you know you're growing as a parent. When you look at your child, you say, you know what? You got that from me. And if you want to be the change for your generation and for your children, you got to break those chains, right? I definitely broke some chains from my parents. Absolutely. But then there were some chains that I didn't break, that I just kept on, you know, kept my damn feet and hands shackled and passed them on to my children. And I think if we have more of these open dialogues and these open conversations and these honest conversations, a lot of parents don't want to admit they're wrong in public. They don't want to admit they're wrong to their children. And they just keep throwing it under the rug like our parents did and their parents did and our grandparents did and our great grandparents did. All they did was sweep certain secrets under the rug like it never happened. And this is where the mental illness comes in at. A lot of people, most of this country, if not everybody, is walking around with some type of trauma or some type of mental illness that they have not dealt with. And I really think in the Black community, the embarrassment, the stigma that comes with, you know, seeing a psychologist or seeing a psychiatrist is, oh my God, it's like the world is going to end. And the truth of the matter is, no, the world is not going to end if you go and get help. But your world will end at some point if you don't get help, whether it's deterioration of your health, you know, physically, your mental health, you know, then it trickles down into your economic life and how you're handling things at home. And then the kids start to suffer. Because when you're stressed, what do? You snap at them, you yell at them, or whatever you may do. You know when you're stressed, the entire family feels it. So why are we not getting the help that we need? There's a lot of people walking around here and would rather pretend than to really live their authentic truth. And I think I pretended so much as a child, and I tried to hide so many different things that happened to me as a child, that I grew up pretending all the time. And at some point, I had to look at myself and say, that shit ain't real. That's not real. What's really real is what you're feeling and what you're going through emotionally, what you're going through mentally. That's real. And I think a person that really wants to make change, it takes that realization to say, okay, I don't want to be a fraud anymore. I actually want to live my life authentically and not necessarily for the world to see or to get a kumbaya moment from anybody, but really for me, to have mental freedom for me, you know, to have good mental health for me so I can thrive, I can live, I could survive in this world, because this world has a lot of pressure. I mean, you look at this whole coronavirus going on, the whole damn world is going crazy with this thing, as if we didn't have Ebola, as if we didn't have, you know, HIV, herpes and everything else, and syphilis and everything else that comes with life, you know, if we are putting ourselves in certain situations. Some things we can't control, some things we can control. But it all really starts with our mental health. We have to take care of our mental health. We have to want to be strong. We can't change certain things in our lives that has happened because it already happened. But what we can change is how we cope with it. What we can change is how we cope with our children, how we understand our children. Today's kids have a lot on their plate. They have a lot on their shoulders. They're dealing with a lot. And mental illness can be passed on generation to generation. You understand? I feel it's in a lot of people's blood. You know, and if you're not taught that mental wellness is and mental health comes first, then you have to be the first one in your generation to make that change. It's so important. And I learn something new about myself every day as a woman. I learn something new every day about myself as a mother, which I pride myself for. I love my kids. I invest in my kids. I'm invested in my kids. I will protect my kids to the end of life, as all mothers should and all fathers should. But sometimes it just does not work that way, because some of us, like I said, are struggling mentally. And if we can't pour into ourselves and we can't take care of ourselves, I don't know how could we ever pour into our children. It's damn near impossible. So I think, you know, when I do these podcasts, a lot of it is, you know, sharing my experiences. A lot of it is sharing my journey and you know, conversations that I've clearly had with friends and coworkers and my family. And I feel the only way that we can move past the stigma and we can get onto the other side is by having these conversations authentically. I look at a lot of people that have crossed my path in life, and I say to them, I said, you know what, I used to be like you. And I'm so glad, you know, that I saw the light. I'm so glad I was able to look at myself in the mirror and actually own who I am. And I hope one day that you can do that, because it's not so bad owning the trials and tribulations that you face in life. We are not always on the top of the ladder. No one is always on top of the ladder. There's times that you're going to be down that ladder. You're going to fall right off. You're going to tumble down. You're going to scrape your knees. Some of us are going to break our legs. But guess what? You get that cast, you heal for 6 weeks, and you're back at it again. That's life. We all fall. And if we keep sharing this narrative that everything is perfect, then how could anybody learn anything from you? How could we preach to somebody, get your shit together, and your shit ain't even together? How could you preach to somebody, well, you know what? Own your house, own your car, have good credit, get a great career, when you don't even have that going for yourself? You out here with bad credit, No house, no car, you know, no 529 for your children's college fund. And if those are your struggles, I have been there. I've had those struggles and I've shared them openly because I think the best thing that person could ever be relatable to someone is that you're human and you're going through some deep shit that I'm going through. But we got to stop portraying that we're not struggling because we all struggle in different times in our life. You know, I look at sometimes my kids face things in school or they face things at work and we come home and we sit down in family. We talk about it. I said, you know what? I've gone through that as well. But I think also your kids knowing the struggle and seeing how you've gotten past adversity is the best lesson that you can teach your children. Adversity is everything. How you come out on the other side is everything. And teaching people those values are important. A lot of us can say that, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, you're a coach. Did you get certified? Listen, yes, certification, you can't devalue it. It's important. You should have it. But I feel there's a lot of people out here with certifications and there's a lot of people out here with PhDs and, you know, certifications in therapy. And the truth of the matter is they have not gone through half of the things that I've gone through. So yes, there's book smarts and there's book knowledge, but there's something about having life experience that you cannot, you know, turn your nose at. You just can't. The facts are the facts. And when somebody has gone through trauma and all types of trauma and they have gotten to the other side, you would want to know, how did they get to that other side? I will always say this, sharing is caring. And the more that we share and the more that we're authentic with our journey and with our stories, the more people we will inspire. Some people will receive what we're saying and some people won't. But I always believe when a person is ready to receive, they will open up their ears, they'll open up their hearts, they'll open up their arms and stop crossing their arms. When you cross your arms, that tells me you are not open to receive. You're not open to receive. You got to be open to receive. Be the change that you want. If you want change, be the change. And we definitely have to learn to break those chains. Some things you can't change in life, guess what? Deal with it. Learn some coping mechanisms. What is it that I need to do to cope and to do better? So that I can pass on healthy habits to my children and not the habits that my parents passed along to me. Not the good ones we want to keep, but the ones that are not so good, we have to release it. And the way we release it is by not doing it anymore. So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I wanted to do it. I think it's the message I want people to take from this is to be open, to be your authentic self. Even with some of the red paint that's on your walls, it doesn't matter. Guess what? Everybody's walls had red paint on it at some point. We're all imperfect and we're all learning every day about ourselves and about those that surround us. Stay tuned to the next podcast.